Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our speed review article. We're actually on our second day discussing a book called The Art of Connection, and it is about relationship building skills for becoming a better leader. But as we talked about yesterday, we also feel like a lot of these skills are just good for building relationships and us as individuals, things that it doesn't matter where you are in your life, we all can develop these skills. And I think one of the important things that I want to point out is that we can acquire these and develop the ability to connect with people. So even if you don't feel like you're very good at it, you have a hard time making new friends or acquaintances or relating to people on your staff, maybe that the whole point of this is that you can acquire these skills and that you can develop them. And to discuss this article with me today in our studio, we have
Jack Smith here. Glad to be talking about this important topic with you again.
And Simon. It's always good to be back.
And I'm Linda. And we want to just review a little bit about what we talked about yesterday in case you couldn't join us. This book is presenting seven skills. It says that every leader needs now, and yesterday we talked about two of them. So, Jack, which skill stood out to you yesterday?
The skill that stood out to me was the first skill, which is to embrace humility. And I found it particularly helpful when Gelb talked about the illusion of transparency, because I think this is something that I really need to learn myself, which is the idea that if I'm communicating with you, I assume that you are understanding what I say because I automatically understand what I'm saying. But instead, I need to have the humility and realize you may have heard something else, and I need to ask you about that.
Okay. And what about you, Simon?
I'll do the second skill then, which was be a glowworm. And we talked a little bit yesterday about how glowworms are humble creatures. So it fits very well with the first principle that we were supposed to learn. One of the things we didn't talk about quite as much, though, is that glowworms glow. And so they shine light out and they draw a lot of attention to themselves. You know, when people see there are fireflies in a mountain area, other people go to see the fireflies and the glowworms, right? Because people want to see these things. They're interesting to look at, and they're, inspiring in some ways.
I think they certainly draw our attention, right? And today, at the beginning of today's article, we're going to talk a little bit more about what Gelb means about being a glowworm and how he sees it in his book. So why don't we open our books, if you have your magazines, to page 41, or you can find this on your digital device if you have it with you. And let's read the left-hand column on this page, and we're going to read down towards the end of it to about line 23.
Being a glowworm is possible, Gelb writes, because emotions are contagious. Although contagious emotions can, of course, lead to positive or negative consequences, the great leaders are driven by positive emotions to which their followers respond. The third relationship building skill is captured in a trio of imperatives, which Gelb describes as achieving the three liberations. To achieve the three liberations means to free yourself from 1, like and dislike, that is, the urge to be judgmental instead of just observing, 2, taking things personally, and 3, blaming and complaining. Gelb is an adherent of personality types, and his fourth relationship building skill, transcend fixations, involves recognizing your personality type and working to highlight the healthy facets of that type and moving away from its unhealthy facets. And all types have healthy and unhealthy manifestations.
So we see here that being a glowworm is possible because emotions are contagious. Have you found that emotions are contagious?
Sure, I think that's true. I mean, if You know, you meet somebody who's really happy. You might not be as happy as them, but they usually cheer you up a little bit, right?
Well, that's why, you know, I always think it's so funny when a person starts laughing that other people in the room start laughing as well. I was at a movie the other day, and because it was an English movie and, you know, we're in an all-Chinese theater, there were only three of us native speakers that were watching it, and things don't always translate the way they're supposed to. But it was so funny. We're the only three laughing, and pretty soon the people around us were laughing too.
That happens all the time, though, doesn't it? The native speakers laugh alone in the movie theater.
The same thing happens to me when I'm watching a Chinese movie, and I'm like, people are laughing, and that wasn't funny to me. But anyway, the whole point here is that, you know, laughter is contagious,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we want to be happy. And that's true of negative as well. But I think that the point here is that great leaders are driven by positive emotions, and that's what people respond to.
That's right. And actually, I think positive emotions are really the ones that are contagious. I think sometimes negative emotions can inspire all kinds of different responses. If someone is sad or angry, it might cause someone to respond in a quite different way. But the positive emotions, especially if you can respond positively to a challenging situation, a stressful situation, that's really going to create an atmosphere that people can then feel comfortable in.
Okay, and then we go on to our third relationship building skill, and that is a trio of imperatives, and Gelb describes them as achieving the three liberations. So first of all, what is an imperative, Jack?
An imperative is something which is extremely important or urgent. So in this sentence, a trio or three imperatives would be three very important items or ideas.
Okay, of liberation, achieving the three liberations. And if you are liberated, what are you, Simon?
Just means you're free. So liberation is making someone free. So I guess becoming free in three different ways by following these three necessary steps. That's what we're saying here.
And that's a lot of threes, okay? So the first liberation is like and dislike. So that is the urge to be judgmental instead of just observing.
And, you know, I'm not sure. I know this is, being judgmental is definitely a problem that we all have to struggle with. I'm not sure it's possible to avoid being judgmental in some ways. I think we all look at things around us and form an opinion about it. But maybe what we can become free of is just assuming that my perspective is the most correct one. I can step back a little bit and just understand, okay, I am forming an opinion of this, and I know other people are going to have other opinions. What is the best option here?
I would say all three of these are focused on helping a person become a neutral observer.
I agree.
So that their feelings aren't involved in their decision making. And so the first one there, freeing yourself of like and dislike, fits fairly well with that idea if you combine it with the second one, which is taking things personally. So you could describe that as being easily offended,
mm-hmm.
for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or thinking people are, you know, necessarily directing things at you when they're giving a criticism or something like that. And then the third one is what we do when we feel we've been criticized. We blame other people and we complain, right? So you can sort of see here you're freeing yourself from different steps of a cycle of being emotionally involved in the situation. So the first one, like and dislike, it's like you choose a side. And then the second one, taking things personally, it's like you're offended by the other side. And then the third one is like you react to that offense by blaming the other side or complaining about the other side. And so then you can't really make a neutral judgment.
And I think this often occurs when we already have made a decision, or we already have a preconceived notion about a person or about an idea. And so we aren't going into it, the situation, neutrally anyway. So that's all part of this trio of imperatives for achieving the three liberations. And I totally agree with you. I think they feed off one another.
Well, the other thing, you know, at the moment I'm teaching a class on rhetoric. Mm-hmm. So rhetoric is like the ability to communicate your argument, I guess, basically, simply. And in a rhetoric class, one of the most important things is to be able to understand your opponent's point of view, because you can't really argue with them effectively unless you understand what they're really arguing. And it's interesting because students have a really hard time doing this. So I think what they're talking about here is not getting rid of your likes and dislikes necessarily, not really getting rid of your feelings. Instead, it's being able to separate yourself from your personal feeling or position enough that you can sort of see the situation clearly and make better decisions.
Right. I think that's true. But I also want to point out that under number one, it says the urge to be judgmental instead of just observing. So we've already judged the situation without really seeing what's happening. We come at it with a certain point of view.
That's true. If I approach a situation with my own point of view and I just stick to being judgmental, I might not even open my eyes to seeing everything that is there.
But I also agree with Simon. It doesn't mean that you want to like totally forget your own point of view as well. So
yeah,
it is something that you really do have to work at developing.
Well, and you actually, sort of a current example of this is really, you know, present in American news at the moment. They keep talking about fake news and things like on Facebook, people keep reading news stories that are from their point of view. And one of the things, if you are studying philosophy or something, one of the problems people have is called the straw man, which is mm-hmm. where you sort of summarize what you think they are saying, your opponent, but it's not really what they're saying. And this happens because people can't separate themselves from their personal judgments and feelings.
Right. Okay, well, that's our third skill that we need to work on developing. And then we go on to see that Gelb is an adherent of personality types. And if you're an adherent of something, what are you, Jack?
Well, it means that you are a person who strongly supports a particular person or a principle or a set of ideas.
So actually, this word is not that common. The verb is much more common. If you adhere to something, it means that you follow a set of principles or ideas. So the verb is much more commonly used than the noun form is used. And here we see that Gelb is an adherent of personality types. And his fourth relationship building skill transcends fixations. And it involves recognizing your own personality type and then working to highlight the healthy facets of that type and moving away from the unhealthy facets. And all personality types, he says, have both. So if we're looking at personality types, there are so many, you know, personality tests you can take. There are 16 personality types. There are 8 personality types. There are 4 personality types. I think that one of the most common ones are the 4, sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholic. And that kind of, you know, generally, they say summarizes all personality types.
Yeah, so all of these personality types, there's many different ways, I guess, people organize them. But they're all built around this idea of personality characteristics. Sometimes mm-hmm. you'll hear psychologists talk about the big 5 characteristics. And the idea is that everybody has all of these characteristics, but in different amounts, or, you know, like some of the characteristics are more dominant in your life. And each of the characteristics is associated with some good things and some bad things. So, for example, if you want to be very successful in business, you might have to have certain characteristics a lot and other ones less. And so this person here, the writer, he's talking about separating yourself from those unhealthy parts of your characteristics.
And I really like the word that he uses, because it's a good word for describing people, is the facets. And this word facet is, the idea is of if you think of a diamond or some kind of precious stone, and it has multiple sides, and each of those sides where it has been cut is a facet. So you can imagine it has many different sides. And this is why there are so many options for what is your personality, because people are, we would say, multifaceted. They have so many sides, it's hard to really categorize people.
I totally agree. And I think the purpose of taking personality tests or trying to find out your personality type is maybe to, you know, look at maybe those sides and see where the negativeness comes out so that, you know, we can work on adjusting that part. But I think it's interesting that he says that he believes in personality types and that we have to transcend fixations. What does that in particular, that's the skill. What does that really mean to you, Simon?
Well, it means that for each of these different personality types, certain things will be a real focus for them. And so, for example, some people are, you know, find that they are easily manipulated because they really want to be nice to everybody and they mm-hmm. want everybody to like them. And the positive thing about that is that it makes them a really nice, helpful person. But the downside of that is that they're easily manipulated by people who are more interested in getting something out of it than giving back.
So they need to work on standing up and really sticking to what they believe and not being manipulated. Very hard to do. Easy to say, but hard to do. Okay, well, those are two more skills that we need to work on. And now we're going to read about the final three. And we're going to start toward the end of the left-hand column and read to the end of the article.
Why balance is key. Balance energy exchange, his fifth relationship building skill, focuses on the need for relationships to be balanced between the parties. There cannot be one dominant party in a healthy relationship, Gelb writes. This requires leaders to make a deliberate attempt to maintain this balance with their followers. Two ways to maintain is to offer praise and to request feedback. This intriguing chapter also explores the givers, takers, and matchers, the latter representing a balanced approach to relationships, first suggested by Wharton professor Adam Grant. The last two relationship building skills covered by Gelb are to be a rare listener, that is, to be the type of listener who receives, appreciates, reflects, and inquires, and to turn friction into momentum. The first step in turning friction into momentum is to recognize that conflict is a normal and natural aspect of life, and that it is essential to the creative process, he writes. With this practical advice, supported by wonderful stories, inspiring quotes, and evocative acronyms, The Art of Connection is a thoughtful and eloquent tutorial that will help leaders and future leaders become masters of this invaluable leadership art.
So we see that our fifth skill is balance energy exchange. What does that say to you guys?
So if you think about energy exchange, you're thinking about if between people, one person is giving a lot of energy to the other person, and the other person, if it's a balanced energy exchange, is giving an equal amount of energy back.
Okay. But in order to do that, there cannot be one dominant party in this relationship.
Yeah, so actually the term balance energy exchange is kind of a little confusing because it plays on, I guess, colloquial use of this word energy, where we're talking
mm-hmm.
about like
Definitely.
Personal energy and things like that. Really, what they're talking about here is having relationships that are give and take. So partnerships instead of sort of leader-follower relationships.
Right. And in order to attain this, he says that leaders need to make a deliberate attempt to maintain this balance with their followers. And if something is deliberate, it's just intentional, or you know that you have the power, but for a leader, you know you have the power, but you want to maintain balance with your followers so you don't make yourself that kind of leader. You know, the control person, as it said at the beginning, the command and control.
Yeah, and he offers two tools for doing this. One is like a giving tool, and the other one is a taking tool. He says, offer praise, and I suppose you could do that in different ways. You could say, good job, or you could just give people credit for work they've done very well. But you can also request feedback, which means have the opportunity to get information about what's been going on. So you're receiving it, but you're also giving the other person the sense that their opinion is important and valued and things like that. So I guess both of these things go both ways.
I think that, to me, this is one of the more valuable ones. I think as a leader, you know, it's not so difficult to give praise, but it is very difficult at times to request feedback.
That's right, especially just as we saw in the previous point, that there are so many different personalities and perspectives, and wow, when you're a leader and you're leading so many different people, it can be really challenging, I think, to understand and take from the input of many different kinds of people.
I think that the next point here is quite interesting. It says that this chapter explores the givers, as Simon said, the takers, and then the matchers. And this one represents a balanced approach to relationships. So that's where the balanced energy exchange kind of comes in. And this is not only being talked about by Gell, but it was first suggested by Wharton Professor Adam Grant. So we know that this is accepted across lines within business. And then we see that there are two more relationship-building skills that are to be a rare listener, okay? And that's the kind of listener who receives, appreciates, reflects, and inquires. That's kind of interesting. So what does that mean, Simon?
Well, it's a method of listening. So when you receive something, that's the first R in rare. It means you're hearing the information. A is for appreciate, which means, I suppose, you're thinking about it and treating the information as though it's valuable. And reflect then means you like think about carefully what's been said. And then inquire means you come up with, I guess, questions to follow up to find out more information or to make the information you've received clearer in your mind.
Have you ever met anybody that's this kind of listener?
No.
I think it's rare.
It's pretty rare.
And not the capital R-A-R-E either. So it's not very common. But actually, I think for anybody in any relationship, this is a very good skill that we need to build. The thing that is most lacking in the world is the ability to listen to people. Because oftentimes, we are sitting there thinking about what we're going to say, not about what the other person is saying. So it's a skill that's lacking across the board among relationships. And then our last type of skill here is to turn friction into momentum. So we have two interesting words here, friction and momentum. So what does this mean, Jack?
Well, friction is the kind of resistance that two different materials have against each other when they contact each other. And so if you want to have good momentum, friction is going to slow down any kind of momentum. So what Gelb is using here, these words to describe, is when you come into contact with people, you may have friction, which he's using to represent conflict. But in order to have good momentum, in this case representing progress or whatever you're trying to accomplish, you need to be able to turn that conflict as something positive that can actually help you solve your problem or continue your momentum.
When we hear that word friction or conflict, we usually have very negative feelings about it, don't we?
Absolutely.
And we don't think about it usually as a positive force in our lives. So here, it really means, he's really talking about what you do with it. You know, if we recognize it as being normal or natural parts of our lives, then we can also see and accept that he feels that it's essential to the creative process. And the creative process is necessary for the momentum to go forward. So to me, kind of, it's like if we have friction in our lives or in a relationship with somebody, we have to remember that not everybody thinks like we do, and think about what you can learn and what you can get from what that is causing in you. Okay, well, let's see. In our last paragraph here, we say that there are lots of stories, there are inspiring quotes, and evocative acronyms. So I will say acronyms is rare. Up above, we see to be a rare listener, and that stands for receives, appreciates, reflects, and inquires. But what does this word evocative mean?
Evocative just means it makes you really think about and understand what is being said.
Okay. So, and it also, yeah, draws you into wanting to read it. And then we see that this book, The Art of Connection, is a thoughtful and eloquent tutorial. So that means it's to teach you. And if something is eloquent, it just is persuasive, it's meaning, it's moving forward, it's kind of a graceful way of writing, and it's hopefully will help leaders and future leaders become masters of this invaluable leadership art. And I just want to say, I think for all of us in our relationships with one another, it's quite helpful.
Absolutely, because really we all have positions of leadership of some kind mm-hmm. in the different relationships in our lives, whether it's in a family situation or even in a friendship. Sometimes you are taking the place of a leader.
Well, we hope that you have enjoyed our discussion of the book, and it might cause you to want to delve into it further. And we also hope that you will join us here again on Advanced Radio as we talk about a new topic. Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.